This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, it's Tuesday, 12th of February 2019. You're with The Morning Run, and I'm Julian Ng, together with Joyce Goh and Sharitz Abdullah. Now, the US market closed as mostly higher yesterday, but in the background were the US-China trade tensions. The Dow Jones fell about 0.2%. The S&P index barely moved up, and neither so did the NASDAQ Composite Index, which went largely unchanged yesterday.
Well, Julian, speaking about the U.S.-China trade tensions, I think the latest round of trade negotiations between the two that began this week with a working-level talks in Beijing and the Treasury Secretary of the U.S., Steven Mnuchin, as well as the U.S. trade rep, they are on their way to Beijing. I think they're supposed to arrive there on Thursday for more high-level discussions. All eyes will be on, you know, whether or not they'll be able to work something out. I think there's this March 2nd deadline.
Yeah, and I think speaking about the U.S. as well, there is a possibility that there's going to be another government shutdown. So investors, they are also preparing for another closure after talks broke down between the main parties over whether to limit the number of migrants authorities they can detain. Now, the White House hasn't ruled out another shutdown if border security compromise can't be reached by midnight Friday. With regards to Brexit, on the other end, UK is embracing is bracing to exit the European Union on March 29th with or without a trade agreement in hand.
Now, joining us this morning is Joe Quinlan, a chief market strategist of U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management in New York. Good morning, Joe. The U.S.-China trade tension still in the headlines is beginning to creep into concerns about how it will affect U.S. corporate earnings. I mean, Coke, Pepsi, Nestle all have global businesses. Joe, do you think this kind of fallout will materialize in the earnings?
Well, for some companies, it already has, whether it's Apple, Caterpillar in particular, 3M. So in this earnings season, yeah, clearly companies have pointed to China to some weakness underlying sales volume. And they're more hopeful about any type of trade deal being put together. Because if we don't get the deal, then there'll be more downward guidance and more earnings revisions to the downside. And we're already looking at a weak first quarter year over year for earnings. So if we don't get a trade deal, the numbers are going to be even revised further down.
Joe, trade deal aside, I think there's also a lot of concerns on a potential shutdown and as well. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, hopefully we can avoid that because that wouldn't be very good optics. Mm-hmm. It would just really kind of shoot down any hope of Congress, the White House getting anything done in the next 2 years. So it would batter confidence. But remember, net-net, the last government shutdown only I use that in quotes, $3 billion. That's not a small number. But it's a $20 trillion economy. Mm-hmm. But just a second round, I would just think sap confidence, curtail investment, lower consumer confidence further. But, you know, we got a good jobs machine, a strong private sector, wages are rising, the Fed is on hold, oil prices are lower. So we've got some other, you know, kind of tailwinds for all these headwinds we have.
Joe, with regards to Brexit, so March 29th is D-Day. Is this finally happening, and how is the market pricing this?
Well, I'm surprised there's not more volatility in the FX market. I'm surprised the pound isn't weaker. The euro's not weaker against the dollar. So I think the markets are still looking for a deal and or, you know, hit the pause button, kick this can down the road, hit it, you know, 6 month timeout. So I think the markets are looking for that. So keep a close eye on the FX markets. Clearly, though, you know, this is the last thing Europe needs. They're slowing down. The UK's slowing down even further. There's a lot of political strife already. So hopefully this can be avoided. But to me, kind of the FX market's been very tame and not as volatile as I would have thought.
And Joe, just a quick word here. Elizabeth Warren has thrown in her bid for presidency. She's not very friendly to U.S. companies.
Well,
your thoughts?
We'll have to see. Yeah, well, it's too early to kind of. We're looking carefully at all the policy objectives, whether it's green revolution, financial reform, you know, coal industry. It's too early to say, but you're right. But the markets are more focused near term. I think, you know, a year from now in 2020, we'll get serious about the policy impact. But no doubt, I mean, is there a left-leaning tide building that's going to be anti-market, anti-business a year from now? That's to be determined, but something we're watching very carefully.
Thank you so much. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist for U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management in New York. Guys, I guess, you know, Joe is right when he says that some of these things are too early to price in. I like what he says about, you know, the green tide and the left tide, which, of course, people of the stock markets are looking at very closely, right? But that's 2020. It's just too early to price anything of any concrete measures into the earnings right now. But Brexit also... you know, surprising, Joe raised something that's quite surprising, that nothing is happening in the FX market. I mean, what's happening?
Yeah, and given that, you know, the amount of uncertainty that continues to plague the market and volatility, it's interesting to see FX is still not been hit yet. Could it be fundamentals or what's pushing the stability of these markets? What's propping them up?
Yeah, and also it's surprising as well, especially when there's been news covering with regards to how financial sectors are already making getting ready with the Brexit deal, getting ready, especially with the worst case scenario. Which is going to affect the Britain economy.
Okay, you know, talking about the U.S.-China trade tensions, Nobel laureate Paul Krugman, he's kind of viewed as a rock star kind of in the economic world. And he says that, surprise, surprise, the U.S. economy may be heading into a recession at a time when the Federal Reserve doesn't have the firepower to properly combat a slump. Recall that 10 years ago, the U.S. had a quantitative easing to avoid an economic collapse, and that at that time, trillions and trillions of dollars were injected into the U.S. economy that led to, you know, the decade-long boom that we saw in the stock markets and asset prices, as well as the job markets in the U.S. So after having done that, no more firepower now.
Yeah, well, Krugman, he doesn't expect a crisis of the magnitude of 2008. He said policymakers in Washington would struggle to contain large shocks. I guess he's always been a vocal critic of the Trump administration. And, you know, he has said that, you know, he sees it, it's hard to see how the U.S. leadership respond in any kind of a nimble way. And he also said that, you know, we're clearly in worse shape, citing a lower public debt in 2008 and also lots of room to lower interest rates back then.
Okay, for more insights into this, we have Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy for Mizuho Bank. Good morning, Vishnu. Thanks for joining us. What do you make of Paul Krugman's comment here? I guess the sugar rush has to be winded down right now from the Fed.
I mean, that's true, but it's unclear what Krugman really wants out of this. Either A, he's saying rates have not risen far enough for us to cut rates again, in which case the counter argument is actually the Fed has hiked rates a total of 9 times since they started normalizing. And if they had gone a little bit faster, already at 4 hikes last year, there were a lot of criticism about how quickly interest rates had risen, dampening an economic recovery. So it's one of those things where you take a delicate path where you do enough, but not so much that you dampen the economic recovery. And also of the QE that they've undertaken, they have also started QT, quantitative tightening. And have they taken almost half a trillion off from where they started. So they have done some normalization. So arguably, the Fed, amongst most other central banks, has got the most scope to ease policy again. So Krugman's comment makes sense if one were to believe that they could have hiked much earlier on. But I think that's now irrelevant, whereas what they did last year and in the last few years has given them a bit more scope. Are we in an ideal position? No. So, yes, I agree with Krugman where not as much firepower, but perhaps not through the Fed's fault, given the conditions that we came through.
Vishnu, what about Krugman's comment that the U.S. is clearly in worse shape? You know, do you agree with that? Because when it comes to recession, I think technically 2 quarters of negative growth. So is that going to make a big dent on markets?
I mean, that statement is always going to be right, because as long as you change the reference point, it will be right. So compared to last year or the year before, is it going to be in a worse shape because we are, you know, the fiscal sugar rush is running out. So we are going to head into a much slower growth and the possibility of a recession. Yes, it's in worse shape. But is it in worse shape compared to the post-GFC? Certainly not. Unemployment is a lot lower. Jobs are a lot stronger. There are some soft patches in the economy, but overall the economy is in a better place if we take a slightly longer perspective. But this cyclical downturn, I mean, this downturn that we see coming, a global cyclical downturn, and I think we cannot avoid down cycles in the global economy, not with what we know about policy now anyway.
And Vishnu, on a slightly different note, and we posed this question to our earlier guest, Brexit is supposed to happen on March 29, and he expressed surprise about how the FX markets are having no reactions there. What are your thoughts here?
I think that's a very good point. I think what FX markets have priced in is at some point they took away the risk of UK crashing out of this. So rightly or wrongly, markets are now pricing in predominantly two things. One is they will be able to negotiate a soft Brexit. And I think the bigger probability is being attached to an extension of Article 50. They think somehow they'll meander their way through that, which is why you don't see sterling rallying past 132 to 135. But at the same time, you don't see it collapsing towards 120 either. So it's in a precarious position. And it's difficult for sterling to rally now as the dollar has also firmed up slightly. But I think there'll be more clarity when we hear more from the EU speakers and their thoughts on Article 50 extension, but they're not close to this, so which is why I think there's some relief, even if that turns out to be misguided or very transitory.
Thank you so much for your time and for joining us this morning. That was Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy for Mizuho Bank. So a lot of still uncertainty here and a lot of waiting because March 29 is an eternity in the market. So a lot more statements can come out. And as far as the quantitative, that exodus from quantitative easing to quantitative tightening is concerned, you know, the Fed has been doing that for nine times last year, as mentioned by Vishnu, right? Last year to this year, whether or not that is enough to avoid, to encourage a soft landing for a U.S. economy, that might be something that will throw a Krugman statement sort of out of sync with what the Fed has been up to. But then again, he's a Nobel laureate, and who am I to argue with him, right? Okay, we'll be coming back with some local news after this. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.